Hello everyone, Andy here, and here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
In today's episode, I was joined by Gaelic Gridiron's Connor Tate as we review Week 10 in the NFL. We discuss an exciting game in Berlin.
Absolutely, I think anyone who's there has probably witnessed one of the greatest performances in any international game.
Connor discusses his Vikings loss to the Ravens and also why he became a Vikings fan.
They did end
up... It's alright, they don't need much airtime. It's...
And much more as we review the rest of Week 10 in the NFL, including Connor's time as a professional quarterback in Finland. Hope you all enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast. I am, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, as we are here to review Week 10 in the NFL. Now, I'm fully aware, elephant in the room, Week 10 hasn't actually finished yet. We've got one game, well, as of recording, one game that's happening in about 3-4 hours' time. When this podcast is released, it will be coming out. It will have just finished. So we're not going to talk about the Eagles-Packers, which is probably the game of the week, but we'll talk about the rest of the action. And as you can see with me, I've got a first-timer on the show. Now, this is the guy that about 30 hours ago, I didn't know who he was, but I met him at the Berlin game yesterday. With me today is Gaelic Gridirons and also current professional quarterback Connor Tate. Connor, how are things? Nice to see you again.
Things are hectic at the moment. It's been a very busy few hours, but it has been the most amazing 24, 36 hours that culminated in that big Colts victory in Berlin yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was, for myself as well, my first time covering a game outside of the UK and Ireland. My third year doing media game, NFL games, international series games, in the media, in the press box. But my first time doing it outside of the UK and Ireland. Was meant to go to Munich last year. I'm sure many of our regular listeners will be aware, but unfortunately illness got the better of me. But for you, Connor, it was your first time ever doing any international series game in the press box. I mean, we'll get on to my stories on, but for you, just for the first time doing it, how special was that for you?
Well, when you hear that when people fly in first class and then they don't really want to go back to economy, I think it's like, I don't really want to go back to being a regular fan now. I quite like the press box up there. It's nice and warm. The food is great. Listen, it was the most amazing experience, and kudos to the NFL. I thought they did an amazing job. I thought the whole production and the event in general was well organized, well oiled, and we got, I would say, unprecedented access to the field right up until the national anthems went off. Pretty much is when we were ushered down the tunnel. So the amount of access we had was sensational, and then that viewpoint over the magnificent Olympia Stadion and all the history that is surrounded in that building is it was a mega event, and I thought the NFL knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned then about the access we got, because we get sideline access at Tottenham, we get to do that, and it's always good, but there's always a point where we get told, right, it's time to go now, guys. But we were never told to leave. We left on our own accord. We were never told to leave. And I think the access we had was really good, because, normally we don't get to be anywhere near when the players are actually walking out, onto the field of practice. And I think we got at one point, told off about it, because we were sort of right in the way of the players trying to walk out. Yeah. It was that point where we thought they were moving that way, and then they were moving the same way as us. And it was, and some of you would have seen on our Instagram on @_thepod, you would have seen some of the videos I put out. I didn't actually fully edit. So there's some videos where you can see the camera scrambling because of the player coming towards us. It was incredible access, really was, and getting to see all these players very near us. I mean, you saw like the Bijan Robinson, Daniel Jones, Michael Pittman was very near us, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Bynum, just all the big stars were just walking past us time after time. And even, which I didn't realise, because I had not seen him in years till after I'd seen him perform during the game, Scooter, the musician, walked past us, which I didn't realise that's how he looked these days. But, incredible experience. And for you as well, you got to meet, you are a Vikings fan. We'll get into a minute why you're a Vikings fan, but you got to also be around The quarterback that you told me word for word is the quarterback you based your game around. You are a current quarterback in Finland, and yeah, you told me that you based your game around Kirk Cousins. So you got to actually be literally face to face with him at one point.
Yeah, that was special, man. As I said, when I was starting out, Kirk was one of the guys I modeled my game on. You know, him and Rodgers. Rodgers more so mechanically, and Kirk just the way he operates off the field as well. Just the way he goes about his business, the professionalism that he shows, and his preparation before games. And it's been well documented on Netflix because they had a lot of access on into his personal life and his work life on that Netflix documentary, the quarterback one. But yeah, just getting to see, obviously he was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback for 6 seasons. I watched every snap of Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. And as much as, you know, the Vikings fan base thinks he fleeced us and he did make a lot of money up in Minneapolis, you know, he never had an offensive line like Daniel Jones had yesterday in with the Colts up there. And there was a lot of injuries that plagued the Minnesota Vikings over those years. So you know, I think Kirk Cousins was a good thing for Minnesota. They were consistently good. They were always a playoff or almost playoff cusp team. So it was pretty cool to come face to face with him. He was pretty locked in. He wasn't like the fist bumpy kind of mood. Bijan was a little more smiley. Even Coach Raheem Morris was smiley. I got a big thumbs up from him. But Kirk Cousins was all business as he looks to get back into a starting gig in the NFL.
Yeah, I mentioned to you at the time that it reminded me of my first ever NFL game I covered. The first one I covered was Falcons Jags, but the first one I did all the access to, the practice on the Friday and all that, was the Tennessee Titans practice prior to that game with the Ravens. And those will know, many regular listeners will know that my favourite ever NFL player is Derrick Henry. And literally the first practice session I ever had, bumped into him. Myself getting lost around the facility. So, for you to, on your first time as well doing media, get to see one of the guys you look up to. That's an amazing coincidence, also just an amazing feeling. And we mentioned then about being a Vikings fan. We'd like to ask all our new guests the same question as to why they picked their team out of all the 32 in the NFL. So, for you, Connor, what made you choose the Vikings over all the other teams in the league?
Yeah, well, the first game I really sat down and watched in totality was Minnesota against New Orleans in 2018, January 2018, and that's the Minneapolis Miracle, and that was kind of like my introduction to football and the sport it was, and just how brilliant it was. So I was very nearly a Saints fan, I guess, with the way they turned that game in its head in the second half. But Case Keenum came up with the good, Stephon Diggs brought that down, and the rest is history, and ever since I've been a big fan of the Minnesota Vikings, and they're also just a top tier organization. The way they run things, they always score A plus in all the categories where it comes to player treatment and the way they treat their families and stuff. And I think that's also important to take into account, especially when you see a lot of the other organizations and their malpractice and their mismanagement around the NFL. So yeah, having Minnesota score highly like that, it makes me feel good to that I cheer for them and want them to win.
Yeah, there are certain teams that don't score quite as well when it comes to these kind of gradings they put out
Well,
every
someone has to come last, right? I mean, they can't all be
year.
AA plus, but it's quite concerning when you see some D's, E's, and F's in NFL organizations that are, you know, generating millions and millions of dollars.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, we go back to the Berlin factor. I mean, again, I thought all round it was a really well run weekend. I mean, the Friday practice was good. Would have liked more time on the sidelines watching the Colts practice, but that is literally the world's smallest violin. So that was cool. Those who have seen on socials, I got to experience that. You'd have seen on socials the likes of my chats with the likes of Jonathan Taylor, Shane Steichen, Daniel Jones, Cam Bynum, to name a few, who came up on the podium to speak to the media. Let's give you a little bit of my chat now with Jonathan Taylor, who did talk about his MVP chances or the talk of MVP prior to the game, and also you all know what happened since. But let's hear what Taylor had to say about these MVP chats that people are having at the moment.
Jonathan, George mentioned then your stats so far this year. I mean, people are now calling you an MVP contender. Is that something you think about, or are you just thinking about game per game, focusing on each week as it comes?
I think that's how those accolades and those stories and those talks start to happen, is from taking each game at a time. How can I be the best for my teammate this single game right here? What do I need to do to be at my best to ensure we come out with the win? And as you continue to stack those weeks over and over and over, and you look back over the course of a season, you'll put together a great body of work.
And there we are, of course. And the game itself was lived up to that billing, lived up to the billing of the sort of the game that was meant to be the running back show. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was the main star going into the game. And in the end, he had a day to remember. It was a win for the Colts in overtime. I believe just the third ever international game to go to overtime. There was one in Munich last year, and then there was one in London between the Redskins and the Bengals, I want to say, back in, I think, 2015. Rare territory, of course, the first ever Berlin game, so that's history in itself. But Jonathan Taylor did run in for the winning, so the game-sealing touchdown. Also had two in total and 244 yards, and this also includes a touchdown. I believe it was 81 yards in that game. I mean, first of all, Connor, I mean, I had to leave the stadium early because I did book a flight stupidly for 8:35 p.m., thinking the game starts at 2:30 because that's what it is in the UK. I didn't factor in the time difference. So I had to leave at the start of the fourth quarter. So I missed that amazing touchdown from Taylor. I missed it going to overtime, and I missed the winning touchdown from Taylor. I mean, before we go on to the performance of the Colts and the Falcons and all that, just the atmosphere that Berlin had, because when I was there, it was an amazing atmosphere. Especially pre-game, it was the anniversary of the Berlin Wall being removed, and you know, there was a lot of history behind this game, and there was all the flags and all the colours we had prior to the game. And then the game itself was really good atmosphere, and the game itself was really good. We had more points in the first half than the entire of the game between the Jets and the Broncos in London. But what was that atmosphere like when Taylor ran for all his yards and when he got the winning touchdown at the end?
It was mega, but listen, I was there for the big long touchdown in the late in the fourth quarter. I was responsible for filming that, and I cut the camera off once he got stifled at the line of scrimmage, only to hear the roars that I put the camera down, and suddenly Jonathan Taylor's still going. I whipped out the camera as soon as I could again. He's suddenly over the 50-yard line. He's going all the way to the house. It was a remarkable moment, and the Colts needed it because they'd been shut down by the Falcons throughout the game. That Falcons pass rush had done a pretty good job of mitigating Daniel Jones. And then the fourth down, should you go for it? Should you kick the field goal? They got the previous one, and then they go again. And the little flip to Taylor, and the Falcons smothered that one. So the Colts really needed a spark, and Jonathan Taylor provided it. And look, it was a tale of running backs in Berlin yesterday, because you have arguably the two best in the NFL in Taylor and Bijan Robinson going up against each other. And I have to say, it was an honour to watch Jonathan Taylor create history, but also to watch Bijan Robinson, who didn't have a statistically amazing game, but just watching him cut on a dime is something. Like, the size of Bijan Robinson, as you say, we got great field access. He was right beside me walking past. He's a big guy. And his agility is just out of this world good. But it was Jonathan Taylor who came up trumps in the end with that mega performance. I feel incredibly privileged to have seen it in person.
Absolutely. I think anyone who's there has probably witnessed one of the greatest performances in any international game. I mean, I try to think of any performances I can think of top of my head. I mean, you got Devontae Adams having three touchdowns, but only had 30 yards in that game.
Cooper Kupp had a great game a few years ago in London with the Rams, kind of comes to mind. But I don't think it was on a par with what Jonathan Taylor did there. That was it was special.
Yeah, I mean, that Kupp, I remember being there for that game against the Bengals. So that's probably the best touchdown I've seen in London. That was an amazing flea flicker play from Cooper Kupp. I think the only one I can really think of that comes close, I think this one is the top one, but I think the only one to come close, sorry to bring up his name, but Deshaun Watson's performance against the Jags in 2019 was pretty special to be at a Wembley. I mean, it was a pretty bad game, 30-3, I thought 27-3, a really one-sided affair. But I remember just watching him and being, you know, in awe of his performance at the time. And obviously, we all know what's happened since. But at the time, it was an amazing performance to be witnessing in person. But that was just a sensation. Because most of the international games, I find, the big stars often don't perform. You think about all the games this year in London, the first touchdown scorer, none of them were big names. I mean, you had Jets Broncos, everyone would think is going to be, Courtland Sutton or maybe Justin Fields or maybe Garrett Wilson. Turns out it was none of those. Browns Vikings, it wasn't Jefferson, wasn't Addison. And the same thing happened with the Rams Jags. So, yeah, so for him to actually put in a performance that, everyone was hoping for, I think was really good for the international series. And that leads us just to one game left in the international series. International series, which is going to be the Dolphins taking on the Commanders, a game I'm particularly looking forward to myself because as a Dolphins fan, it's my first time ever covering my own team in the media. So looking forward to doing all the stuff with that. I do fly Thursday night, and I'll be staying with friend of the show Sky Pank, who will be sharing an Airbnb, just a 20-minute walk from the stadium. So that's going to be an amazing weekend, and I can't wait for that. Last touch on the game, Daniel Jones's performance. I mean, I thought for a lot of the game he looked almost at times like the old Jones. There was a quite a nice few scrambling plays he made where his size was definitely a helping factor. I felt like there was a few nice moves from him in the game, but there were other times I watched him just get lost in the pocket. I felt like, is that a concern for you? The Falcons are the Falcons. They're sort of, their record is as we expect, but the Colts, no one thought they'd be going into season, what, 8-2 it is now. But Jones, for me, I thought he at times struggled a bit between the trenches. But what was your take on, as a quarterback yourself, what was your take on
No.
it? Because I know you talked to him about it in the post game stuff. You talked to Daniel Jones about his sort of drive and overtime. But just from an overall point of view, what were your thoughts on his performance in Berlin?
I thought the Falcons were better than most people anticipated, and I thought defensively they were pretty strong as well, and they brought a lot of pressure, and so did the Colts actually, expecting the Falcons to bring more pressure. But I'm not concerned with Daniel Jones. Listen, nobody expected Indianapolis to be 8-2 at the Week 10 stage, and they're 8-2, right? Every quarterback is going to have his struggles. Josh Allen didn't exactly look lights out yesterday against the Dolphins, and we're not too concerned about him. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Daniel Jones. What is disappointing is the sack he takes on 2nd and 10 on that final drive when they need the field goal to tie the game. What's brilliant and gives you confidence again is 3rd and 20 and then 4th and 2, and he makes two excellent plays and pulls it off. So you get the Colts back in field goal range. They get the field goal. They lose the, or they win the toss. The Falcons get it first. They go nowhere. And then Daniel Jones comes on with the game on the line for the second time in the game with the game on the line and puts together a brilliant drive. Okay, backed up well by Jonathan Taylor in a strong run game, but he had a terrific completion over the middle towards the right-hand sideline, our sideline near the press box, to get them into the high red zone. So I was thoroughly impressed with Daniel Jones. I think he's the real deal. I think that Colts offense is excellent, and the offensive line allows Jones to play with confidence behind it. And you're going to see the occasional sack or two, which he shouldn't take, because you have that confidence, and the internal clock isn't quite as speedy as it would have been with the New York Giants, where he wouldn't have had that protection. But I think the Colts should be really, really happy getting to their bye 8-2. And I just think 10 wins, especially with what we saw in the AFC South yesterday with the capitulation of the Jaguars against Houston, the AFC South is going to be won with 10 wins. So Indianapolis are 2 wins away from hosting a playoff game this year. They should feel good.
I agree. I mean, that division is pretty poor. You mentioned it then, it was a monumental collapse from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They lost by 36-29, a game which saw them at one point have 2 yards in the fourth quarter compared to 151 for the Texans. And that even more, I think, solidifies the Colts' AFC South division chances. It really does. So I don't think they've won the division. I don't think since maybe Luck's early part of his career. I don't think they won it in a while.
It's been a long time since
Yeah.
Indianapolis won that division. Yeah, it's been dominated by Houston actually in recent years. Tennessee have had a couple, and obviously Jacksonville has sprinkled in a couple as well. But it's been a while since Indy have been up there. Peyton Manning, maybe, and maybe Andrew Luck took one or two of them. But yeah, it's been a while.
Now, rest of the games on Sunday we'll go into before the two that caught our eye. It was a win for the Broncos in a low-scoring affair as they won by 10-7 over the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. On Sunday, we saw the Bears edge out the Giants in a really good game as they won by 24 to 20. We saw the New York Jets get their second win of the season, beating the Browns by 27 to 20. The Saints beating the Panthers with Tyler Shough's first start with a 17 to 7 win over the Panthers. Seahawks dominated the Cardinals by 44 to 22. DeMarcus Lawrence getting two touchdowns returned from a fumble. And the Rams beat the 49ers in a really important NFC West showdown as they won by 42 to 26. And the Lions beat the Commanders 44 to 22. And then on Sunday Night Football, we saw the Chargers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by 25 to 10. And of course, I mentioned it before, the Eagles do play the Packers on Monday Night Football. But before we go on to the game involving our two teams, I want to touch on quickly. So I got the flight back, so I watched a lot of Red Zone in the airport before my flight. And then I get to the point where I have to leave. It's about, I think, the end of the second quarter when I have to, turn off my phone and get on the flight. And then I get on the National Express, and when I first turned on Red Zone, it was live, so I had to try and wind it a little bit. So I caught the start of it, and when I'm there, straight away, what do I see on my Red Zone? Donald Trump was on my Red Zone. I couldn't believe he was in the booth. I knew he was going to the game, but I didn't think I'd see him, calling plays like he was. Insane. That was quite a weird thing to see when you're sort of half asleep on a National Express getting back to Cardiff from London. To see, Donald Trump on on the booth was quite something, I must admit. But going on to our two games, I mean, first of all, the shock of the week by a mile as the Dolphins beat the Bills by 30 to 13. Unbelievable. Now, this is a win that's been coming for a long time. We've not beaten the Bills anywhere, home or away, since the 2022 season in week three. This is a total of 1,141 days between both those wins yesterday and back in 2022. This is a team that has caused me heartbreak more than any other team. I don't hate them as much as the Bills or Jets, but from a heartbreak point of view, the Bills have caused me a lot of heartbreak. 2 years in a row where they beat us to the division in the final stages of the season. And I just thought we were just really good, really good. Helped by a poor day from the Bills offense. It was uncharacteristic performance from them. But the way the season's been for us, you got to take what you can get when you get it. I mean, a win against Bills again. I'm fully aware that they're going to go to the playoffs, and we're probably not going to make the playoffs. They may even win the AFC still. We're not going to win any playoff game or even make the playoffs. So, they'll get the last laugh. But for this week alone, it is nice having the bragging rights. It is nice to have that week where you can actually say you can actually beat the Bills, because that's been the biggest critic of Tua's career with the Dolphins, is not winning big games, not winning when it matters. And this game probably doesn't matter that much to our season. But it's a huge game in terms of the playoffs and certainly the AFC East. So fair play to Tua. I mean, he had two picks, two touchdowns. Devon Achane was once again the star, though. Looking at his particular stats, if I get him up here, he had rushing yards with 174 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Once again, being the star of our team, him and Waddle. I mean, Waddle had a good performance, 84 yards for one touchdown. And in the defense alone, Bradley Chubb was the man once again. I mean, he's a guy that I've been a big fan of when he was in Denver, to be honest with you. But then since he's gone to the Dolphins, I've really loved watching his game. He got a sack, as did Willie Gay Jr. and Zach Sealer. So three sacks in total. Also, we had a play from Ifeatu Melifonwu. He ended up getting I believe it was a deflected pass. But all round, it's a, for me, a really encouraging performance, because the playoffs were a long shot, but it gives you that slight hope that you never know if you can just keep the performance going. But I think certainly gives me hope in terms of next season, because if McDaniel is going to stay, I don't think he will stay, but if rumours are true that he's going to stay with the team, if you can perform like that, it shows me that you can still give something to this team. And overall, I was really happy with it. Just to beat the Bills, because there's been a Josh Allen's only lost, well, until yesterday, he was. Had two losses in his entire career against the Dolphins in all those years. So it was nice to beat him, nice to beat the Bills, and just overall, give us something. Just give us something to shout about at the end of the season. It gives us something to some sort of pride. You know, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to win a Super Bowl, but to get that win and sort of have that feel good moment in the team before going to Madrid as well. Of course, still waiting out of 7 games to see us win a game in person. So hopefully, it's 8th time lucky. And I think with the injuries in the Commanders and their sort of their lack of discipline, we saw, you know, the Commanders players throw a punch at the referee, and there was a I can't think of the player words for the Lions, but I think it was Sam Brown. The punch we saw from one of the Commanders players on him, and he's been suspended since. Daron Payne, that was it. So it gives me hope that against his struggling Commanders team, the momentum we built from that win, it can give us hope that we can end the season on a high, and as well give me a win in person. But Connor, what was your take on the game? Because you know I had a lot of chat then about my stance as a Dolphins fan. As a neutral, Connor, what was your take on that performance from Josh Allen, from the Dolphins defense, and just the all round four quarters?
Yeah, so look, I think it's a bigger blow for the Bills than it is a positive for the Dolphins. It's a classic no-show from Buffalo in the first half, and then they get that wacky drive to start the second half, and they're driving down the field, and Allen has that crazy scramble play, and you're like, okay, now it's going to click, here we go, and then bang, interception. And same in the fourth quarter, and they're driving down the field, and the QB sneak, and just get down, Josh, just get, you've got the first down, it's good, playing hero ball, bang, there's the fumble, shoot themselves in the foot, and they've done that a couple of times this year, Buffalo, so it is a bit concerning. As for Miami, it's just another win to keep McDaniel there another week. I think I don't see him there as the long-term plan. I think he's had long enough to prove it, and this season has been a basket case really with all the podium shenanigans and nonsense that has come out of Miami. But I think it's good for the international crowd that Miami are coming in off a win. And I do think they will probably be favorited now in Spain. They are the de facto home team in Madrid. And yeah, Washington really lost their head this week. So that team, that locker room looks like it's gone too. So I back the Dolphins this week, and I hope the Dolphins take it now for your sake.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, in terms of that, also that win, you mentioned me damaging for the Bills. It completely now opens up the AFC East because now it's a 2-win gap between the Patriots, who are top after their win against the Bucks, and the Bills, who got 6 wins. Now, I have to send a bit of an apology to the Patriots because I did call them the biggest pretenders of the season so far because their schedule was really easy apart from the Bills game. But I think to beat this Bucks team, and the throws you saw from Drake May, you
Yeah, it's a big
know,
win.
just impressive. One to Matt Collins was really impressive. So for me, I do feel like this has massively opened up the AFC East, and I think that you know this could cost the Bills ultimately. I think the game against the second lot of game against the Bills between the Bills and the Patriots will be, I think, the key. If the Bills can win that game, I think they've still got a chance. But if the Patriots can win that game in
As the Pages
Foxborough.
win that, it's done. They'll be 3.5
Yeah.
games clear. That is their division now. Buffalo will be looking at that on their schedule, and they'll know that's an absolute must win. It's as simple, mathematically, it's as simple as that. They have to take that one. They can't afford to lose that one.
Well, let's move on to our final game. Of course, we are running low on time on the Zoom recording, but we'll talk about your Vikings. They did end
It's
up.
all right. They don't need much airtime. It's
I mean, it was a really. We mentioned about the division standings with the AFC East. This is a result that really does open up the doors for the AFC North. I mean, with the Steelers losing on Sunday football and a really poor performance from them, and now the Ravens beating the Vikings in that game, it means now there's just one win standing between the Ravens and the Steelers. And the Ravens, who started season 1-5, looked done. There was talk of Henry being traded. There was talk of Harbaugh's getting booed. There was talk about is he done in Baltimore? Is he going to leave at the end of the season? And what we've seen since, the team that you know has kept their team spirit. They've not put their heads down. They've kept it together, and now, albeit with a bit of luck, with the Steelers being poor, that's helped them a little bit. But you know, with this win now, which was by a score of 27-19, it does mean the AFC North is wide open for the. I think even the Bengals, Joe Burrow today did announce he's back in practice. Personally, I think their team's nowhere near, but you never know with that kind of caliber of quarterback. So I think the AFC North now has gone from what was maybe after the Dublin game, maybe after week six, looking like a one horse race with the Steelers going to win it. Now we're looking at it as a division that actually could see the Steelers not win it at all and not even make the playoffs. So,
It's It's wide open, and it's all on Pittsburgh, man. Like, they've been disappointing. I had a lot of faith in Pittsburgh, and they've kind of let me down with their recent performances. As for Baltimore, they didn't look particularly great in Minneapolis yesterday, but that's what good teams do. They win when they don't look too good. Minnesota sure shot themselves in the foot. Just the tail of the tape is poor execution. Just in key downs, in key moments, in key situations, poor execution. And if they had converted just 30 or 40% more of those key third and fourth downs, may well win the game. But the fact is they didn't. I think there are some positives to take from McCarthy's performance. You know, he made some electric plays that, you know, it excites you that if he can be more consistent in the sort of boring downs. Yeah, you got a real playmaker there in Minnesota, but just not good enough on all sides and all facets of the game. And Baltimore, albeit not flashy, deserved winners, and I'm right back in the AFC North on.
Absolutely. It was a real day for kick return because you mentioned the Jets-Browns game. The Jets special teams, the first two touches of the entire game for the Jets with a 99-yard kickoff return by Kenny Ngwangu. And also then Isaiah Williams had a 74-yard punt return touchdown within their first two touches. So they had two touchdowns before Justin Fields even had the ball. And this is the first time since 2011 that a team has returned back-to-back kicks for a touchdown. But also, you know, the Vikings Ravens game. I can't think of who the player was for you now, but there was back to back muffed returns, and you're lucky second time around that you recovered the ball. But
Miles Price.
there was some
You know,
underwhelming.
talking about wacky stats, and I have to bring this one up because it's a weird coincidence. But prior to this meeting, Minnesota and Baltimore have met seven times in history because they're opposite conferences. They don't play that often. And the three victories Minnesota had, they went to the NFC Championship in each of those seasons. In the four seasons where they lost to Baltimore, all four of those seasons saw the head coach be fired. So if that trend follows, KOC is fired at the end of this season. Now, I think that trend will be broken this year. I don't think KOC is on the hot seat at all. But just a wacky stat that is. And yeah, it doesn't look like an NFC Championship berth for Minnesota either.
No, I mean, looking at the schedule, I mean, first of all, firing him would be absolutely crazy. I mean, that would be a regret. I think if you were to get rid of him, I think that would be the biggest regret your team could
It's
make.
not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. It's just a cool stat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I'm looking quickly at the NFC North now, I mean, it's looking like a three-horse race. I mean, you got the Vikings are now 2 wins off any other three teams in that division. You got the Packers leading it with 5-2-1. Then you've got the 6-3 Lions and the 6-3 Bears. So this
Yeah.
Vikings team, you know, it's probably not going to be a playoff team this year, but I think, you know, you get everyone healthy. We've seen, you know, your third choice is either Jalen Naylor getting 124 yards in this game. So you've got the weapons, you've got a fairly good O-line, you've got a good defense. I think you give McCarthy another year, a full year of playing, a full year of reps. I don't think you should be completely written off, but I think the only thing you'll have against you is that division. You've got, you know, three really good teams there. So I think it's gonna be a tough, it's the best division in the league, and I think it's gonna be tough for you to make the playoffs for that reason. I think the only way you can get in next year maybe is through having an easier schedule for your most likely fourth place finish.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a tough one for the Vikings, but I think McCarthy showed me signs. Very small sample size, but I do think that there's a player in there. I think he just needs time just to adapt and become a player. And not, you know, we would talk about it in the wait for the credentials pickup about how there's a lot of pressure on quarterbacks to be good straight away. Just give him time to settle, give him time to learn the playbook, give him time to learn, you know, learn reps on the field rather than just in practice. I think it's you know, the most important thing for a quarterback. So we've gonna end the podcast now because we are very low on time on the recording. Before we do let you go, Connor, you are a quarterback in Finland. Now I'm really gonna apologise in advance if I completely mess up the name of this team. So you currently play for the Loja Crusaders, who are a Finnish American football team. You compared yourself to a scrambling quarterback rather than a pocket passer.
No.
So what's that like? You said you've played in Germany before as well. You said you played in Spain. What's that experience been like for you, just to be able to play all over Europe and play the sport you love?
Best job in the world. I'm the luckiest guy on earth. Literally, it's been amazing, and it's just been a snowball effect since I started. It's just the opportunities and the amazing people that I've met throughout the journey. It's just snowballed, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And it ended up in yesterday in the Olympia Stadion in the press box. So, you talk about doors opening and opportunities. The world of quarterback and traveling to different countries will do that for you. And it's just an honor to play quarterback, man. Like the pressure is a privilege. I know that's cliche, but it really is. So I'm honored and I love it, and I'll ride the wave until it reaches the shore.
Fantastic. And yeah, for those of you that want to, who are listening and want to catch up on Connor's work and his sort of progress playing American football, where can they find you on socials?
Yeah, you can find me all over Instagram, Connor.Tate, on YouTube. If Connor Tate is the name of my channel, you can find all sorts of videos regarding my playing and my training and my travel and my fitness and how I keep it up while I travel around. So yeah, that's where you can keep up with all that sort of stuff.
Amazing stuff. And you can also find his work on Gaelic Gridiron with a friend of the show, Jimmy English, as well. But in the meantime, this has been our Across the Pod NFL Podcast Week 10 review with, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, with our guest in Connor Tate. And we'll see you guys next time. Take care.